It's Wednesday, September 14th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Coming up, a fragile ceasefire holds in Syria amid possible U.S.-Russian cooperation.
It's not a history without its past troubles, but we're committed to our alliance.
U.S. relations with the Philippines remain strong. Also ahead, taking a knee in the NFL to make a statement. And Lady Gaga has some new music for you. It's all on today's International Edition. A widespread calm appears to be holding in Syria as a ceasefire brokered by the United States and Russia continued into its second day. The commander of U.S. Air Force's Central Command, Lieutenant General Jeffrey Harrigan, told reporters at the Pentagon via teleconference Tuesday that the United States is now looking into the possible establishment of a joint integration center with the Russians to help with counter-Islamic State operations in Syria. The general would not reveal details of where the potential center would be located, nor would he give specifics of what type of operational cooperation would occur. General Harrigan says the first step is the cessation of hostilities for 7 days. But a U.S. defense official told the French press agency that while everyone is prepared for rapid implementation of the agreement, they are also ready to walk away from it if it doesn't hold. University of Denver International Relations professor Jonathan Edelman says the skepticism of the Pentagon is understandable.
The Pentagon is looking at it not from the political angle, but rather from the security angle. And they're asking the question, how in the world is this really going to work? The Russians have very different objectives than we do in Syria. They want to maintain the Bashar Assad regime. They want to become the number one power again in the Middle East. And therefore, I'm totally with them. I spent 10 years working part-time on contracts for the Pentagon. And they're very smart people. They really think about things. And I think they've raised some very valid questions here. I mean, you look at what the Russians already have been doing, penetrating, you know, American intelligence and even possibly, you know, reaching into beyond the military aspect, even into the political aspect of our country. And given that Putin is authoritarian, that he is a throwback in terms of from our point of view, and that we're very disappointed in Russia that they didn't really move towards democracy or to capitalism. I think we have a right to be, especially when we think about Georgia in 2008 and we think about the Ukrainian situation and the Crimean in 2014 and even today. What the Russians are saying, unfortunately, is often, to be polite, very problematic. The Obama administration is going out of power within the next several months. So from the Russian point of view, this is a wonderful deal. They're seen now as equal again to the United States. And I think that they're playing this game very well from their point of view. But the Pentagon and others have right to be very dubious about every single aspect of this particular deal.
Jonathan Edelman says he believes the Russians view this arrangement as a win-win for them, as he says it enhances their prestige in the Middle East and improves the chances of victory for the Assad regime in Syria. It's time now for us to check out what's trending online with International Edition's G. Abby Lee. She has been following the latest social media buzz on the handset manufacturers Apple and Samsung. Hi, G.
Hi, Jim. That's right. And I have been following the news on my mobile phone, no less. Apple is once again trending, but this time it's about a couple of changes to its messaging system. Now, the first change is that Apple replaces gun emoji with a water gun emoji. And these are what people are saying. So Apple thought it was okay to take away the gun emoji and replace it with a water gun, but give a middle finger one? And another person wrote, "How the hell am I supposed to convey my anger with a water gun?" But I guess if you have to convey your anger by using a gun emoji, that's a little bit of a problematic.
Yes. Well, what's the other change?
It's the introduction of iMessage stickers. Apple introduced a separate App Store for the new iMessage that offers users an assortment of stickers to choose from. Many outlets are tweeting about the messages, especially, and understandably, those who have created stickers with Apple. The stickers include characters from Pixar animations, the Star Wars film series, and Nintendo's Super Mario game. NBC's The Today Show also released a set of stickers for iMessages featuring its anchors. But some people are pointing out such concept has existed on Samsung phones for a long time, and it seems like not everyone is happy with the change either. One person tweeted, "I like Apple because emojis don't trigger me," meaning that it annoys her that there are so many, you know, options with a Samsung one. And she added, "Why is Apple trying to beat Samsung?"
Well, speaking of Samsung, are people still talking about the recall of its latest Galaxy Note?
Yes, they are. And one of the most liked tweets on that topic reads like this. Kate Upton, built like a Samsung charger. Now, to give you a little context, she is an American actress who is upset with some of the football players who refused to stand up during the national anthem on September 11th. And she's saying Samsung charger because that's the reason why it's being recalled, because the chargers have exploded.
Wow, interesting. Well, our power has run out for the social media segment, but thanks for the wrap-up, G. And you can follow us on Twitter at our Twitter stream on International Edition. That's at VOA underscore IE. Also follow G and myself at VOA Stevenson and at G Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia, U.S. envoy says Washington is flexible on North Korean nuclear talks. Chinese riot police quash Wuhan protests. Aung San Suu Kyi to discuss economic help and sanctions change in U.S. visit. Philippine leader rejects joint patrols, eyes China weapons. Health ministry says about 200 Zika cases recorded in Thailand. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more at the voanews.com website and also on our VOA mobile app if you happen to have a smartphone. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. Officials in the Philippines are trying to clarify President Rodrigo Duterte's statement that U.S. Special Forces advising their Philippine counterparts in the fight against Muslim insurgents in the South need to go. An Army spokesman said Monday's statement will affect only a token number of U.S. servicemen. He called overall Philippine-U.S. defense ties rock solid. Mr. Duterte on Tuesday insisted Manila will not cut its umbilical cord to its countries that it's allied with. His foreign secretary said the Philippines will respect and continue to honor its treaty obligations and commitments. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the United States military is there at the request of previous Philippine leaders. Southeast Asia analyst Gerard Finnan, a senior fellow at the Hawaii-based East-West Institute, tells VOA's Victor Beatty that he's not surprised by the president's remarks.
There is an extreme sensitivity by President Duterte regarding the relationship with America and with the historical experience of colonial rule. So from that perspective, he's a strong nationalist, and I think we're seeing this evidenced in various ways. What remains unclear to me is what real impact this may have if the forces are removed from the southern Philippines. There has been a growing importance given to rotations of troops for training purposes. And at least thus far, it does not seem that he is suggesting that the training exercises will come to a halt. So all of this suggests that things are in a state of flux. And I think the United States' position has been a wise one, which is to wait and see and not try to add fuel to the flames.
Since 2002, these U.S. troops have been advising the Philippine Army. What actually is their mission?
I think their mission has been to try to increase the capacity of the armed forces of the Philippines. And this is an ongoing project and includes both increasing the human capacities as well as, I think, trying to increase the quality of the equipment that is used by the Philippine military. So it's still a bit unclear as to what these recent statements will mean on the ground and in actual practice. Well, I think what is clear is that there is no appetite by President Duterte for a permanent American presence there. And I think there are many policymakers in the U.S. who also would be disinclined towards a permanent American presence. So it's going to require some negotiation and some diplomatic talks, but I think in the long run the relationship can remain a strong one, especially the relationship that exists between the American people and the Filipinos.
Gerard Finan says he detects no change in Philippine policy toward the United States under Mr. Duterte, a relationship that he describes as very strong. Mr. Duterte stirred controversy last week when, during a regional meeting in Laos, he used a vulgarity to describe President Barack Obama, who planned to raise rights concerns over the war on illicit drugs. A planned bilateral meeting between the two, which would have been the first since Mr. Duterte was sworn in on June 30th, was canceled. The start of the U.S.-American football season has brought lots of controversy, with 18 players staging symbolic protests against what they see as the country's abuses of minorities. The man who started this protest movement is San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick. For the second time in a row, Kaepernick knelt down during the playing of the U.S. national anthem and waving of the U.S. flag ahead of an NFL game against the Los Angeles Rams on Monday. The protests have generated lots of social media conversations. Some people support the players' actions as expressions of free speech that highlight key social problems. Others object to what they see as disrespect toward national symbols and the nation's military. Mark Gray is a radio host for CBS affiliate station WJFK-FM and also for the TSL Sports Talk Show on Shadow League Radio. My colleague Michael Lippin spoke to Gray in our VOA studios today and asked whether he thinks the strong backlash from some members of the public makes the players' protests worthwhile.
Well, I'll say this. I may disagree with the people who are so far away from my position, because I look at it as a peaceful, civil, nonviolent disobedience. But I also understand the people who believe in what the flag stands for and their perception of the vestiges of freedom that it represents. I mean, you do look at the African American community, who in many respects have, I mean, let's be real for a second. That flag represents a country that really looked at you at one time as 3/5 of a human being. Those are scars that still we're dealing with right now. And people want to say, well, you know, plenty of things that happen, it's all equal now, but it's not. And so oftentimes when you look at a gesture, it's the only way to get attention. And the more extreme the gesture, the more attention that you get. You look at what happened in Baltimore after the when the riots happened because of the Freddie Gray circumstance. That was a horrific gesture, but it was the only thing that really brought attention to what we now know to be a circumstance where you've got some behavior amongst the Baltimore police force that's not where it should be from a legal standpoint.
So you think, you know, with extreme gestures, people who commit those acts of protest should also expect extreme, you know, reactions? Is that just go with the territory?
You're right. That is going to be whenever there's protest. Protest is designed to make you feel uneasy if you're a status quo type of person. So, yeah, I think that, and you just look back at the days of the civil rights movement. You look at Muhammad Ali's stand. I mean, with his stand, took a great deal of sacrifice. He lost 3 years during the prime of his career. Who knows how many million of dollars that he cost himself at this time. There are going to be reactions to every social reaction. And when you take a stand, you have to have the shoulders to be able to deal with it. I think that's why I respect and admire Colin Kaepernick. This is a young man who we didn't know if the 49ers were going to keep him or cut him to start the season. And I at the beginning thought that his frustration had gotten the best of him. He knew that he was going to be cut, so therefore he spoke out. And what we're now finding out is he's got some well-researched positive thoughts about a circumstance. It does remain to be seen how he implements them and motivates other people around him to really start taking things beyond the gesture stage to the action stage to help bring about change.
Mark Gray of CBS affiliate WJFK-FM speaking to International Edition's Michael Lippin. And as this story continues to develop, Be sure to follow it on our website at voanews.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @VOA_IE. And while you're online, stop by our Facebook page. It's VOA Now. Check it out and like us while you're there. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
VOA News.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This is VOA's International Edition. Lady Gaga fans have some new music to hear on her new album. We hear the new news from VOA Border Crossings host Larry London and International Edition's Ira Melman.
She's coming out with a brand new album, Ira. It'll be album number 5, pop album number 5, although she did release a jazz album with Tony Bennett a couple of years ago called Cheek to Cheek, but she's back into the pop world. And the new album does not have a title yet, but her latest single, which we've waited 3 years for, does have a title.
And what is that?
It's Perfect Illusion. I really like the song. It just came out last week, and it's already creating quite a buzz and moving up the charts. And Lady Gaga has shown that she can do just about everything. She is a great actress. She's appearing on a drama show on sci-fi television called American Horror Story. She won a Golden Globe for her role on the show. She's nominated for several Emmys for her role on American Horror Story. And she's performed on the Oscars. She sang her tribute to Julie Andrews, Sound of Music. Sounded great. Everybody's review after was, I never knew Lady Gaga could sing like that.
Well, everybody said that when I first heard all the duos with Tony Bennett, right?
True. Very true. And there's talk of a potential another album with Tony Bennett because she had such a great time and the two of them bonded so well. But her fans, which are known as Little Monsters, they've been craving some new music from Lady Gaga. So we've waited a number of years, and it's time for her to get back into the pop world.
Has she spread herself too thin?
That's a great question. I don't think so. I think that she was very disappointed. The last album that she put out, which was pop, in 2013 called Art Pop, failed miserably. And she blamed it on the record label. She said it was just a failure to promote it properly. I didn't have the support I needed. So the album bombed. And she's coming back and she says this album will be bigger and better than anything I've done before.
When she first made it big publicly, she came through with a certain persona. And that persona has changed throughout
yes.
the years. Is she going back to it?
No, I don't believe she's going to return to that because her fans and her, you know, her base has matured, has grown since she debuted probably about 7-8 years ago. And at the time, we were all enamored by the craziness that was Lady Gaga with the meat dress, which is now at the Smithsonian. And the shoes.
Hope they haven't refrigerated.
I hope it's refrigerated. Nothing wrong with some rotten meat.
Right.
But no, she certainly has come a long way. And I think doing a jazz album with Tony Bennett put her on another path. So I can't see her going back to the craziness that was Lady Gaga. And I don't think her fans are expecting that from her. I think she's always going to be cutting edge and a little bit avant-garde. But, you know, she was seen in New York recently. She was dressed very provocatively. So maybe that's the new incarnation of Lady Gaga. She'll be more sexy and more sultry. Who knows? We'll wait and see.
Seems to be what she likes.
Yes. Well, whatever she likes, her fans like, and it seems like the people who like music like, because, you know, everybody's been craving a new Lady Gaga song, and as I mentioned, we waited 3 years for the new song, and it's called Perfect Illusion.
Let's hear more of it, shall we?
Trying to get control, pressure's taking its toll, stuck in the middle zone, I just want you alone.
New music from Lady Gaga. Facebook, by the way, has issued an apology. It deleted an iconic photograph that was posted by the Norwegian Prime Minister, Erna Solberg. It was a 1972 photo taken by the Associated Press showing a naked, screaming Vietnamese girl who was running away from a napalm attack during the Vietnam War. That photo is commonly referred to as terror of war. It was deleted ostensibly for violating Facebook's no nudity rules. Now, the deletion of the photo set off a protest of sorts, with several other members of Norway's government posting the photos to their Facebook pages. Well, Sheryl Sandberg, the social media giant's chief operating officer, made an apology. She said, well, we don't always get it right. Even with clear standards, screening of millions of posts on a case-by-case basis every week, she says it's challenging. And nonetheless, Sandberg says they intend to do better, and they thanked the Norwegians for helping them get the issue right. Well, we thank you for joining us on International Edition and listening to our program. You can always find us at voanews.com. And while you're online, like us on Facebook at VOA Now. And you can also follow us on Twitter with all of the latest news and information. Our handle at @VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, and our engineer is Dan Crafton. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're all in Washington. Thanks so much for being a part of our day. We're glad we were a part of yours. Have a great day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. President Barack Obama strongly condemned North Korea's recent nuclear test and missile launches. North Korea's September 9th nuclear test is a grave threat to regional security and to international peace and stability. North Korea stands out as the only country to have tested nuclear weapons this century. This most recent test, North Korea's second this year, follows an unprecedented campaign of ballistic missile launches, which North Korea claims are intended to serve as delivery vehicles for nuclear weapons targeting the United States and our allies, the Republic of Korea, and Japan. Furthermore, the U.S. does not and never will accept North Korea as a nuclear state. Far from achieving its stated national security and economic development goals, North Korea's provocative and destabilizing actions have instead served to isolate and impoverish its people through its relentless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missile capabilities. This nuclear test, a flagrant violation of multiple UN Security Council resolutions, makes clear North Korea's disregard for international norms and standards for behavior, and demonstrates it has no interest in being a responsible member of the international community. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said, "We remain committed to defending the American people and honoring our security commitments to our allies in the region. We are prepared to take whatever measures are necessary to ensure our alliances continue to defend against this growing threat to international peace and security." The United States remains steadfast in our defense commitments to our allies in the region, using all the capabilities at our disposal, including our extended deterrence commitments. The DPRK's repeated and willful violations of its obligations under UN Security Council resolutions, its belligerent and erratic threats, and web of illicit activities around the world indicate it has no interest in participating in global affairs as a responsible member of the international community. This shows that North Korea would not be a credible negotiating partner. Secretary Kerry said the U.S. remains open to credible and authentic talks aimed at full and verifiable denuclearization of the DPRK, and North Korea can only achieve the security and development it seeks by living up to its international obligations and commitments.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.